You know, it never ceases to amaze me how good the commercial world that we live in is helping us, is how good they are at moving from one season to another quickly, and how they're always prepared for it and ready for it. To move from, you know, they don't call it Advent, but they call it the time before Christmas. When there's, you know, when TV channels and radios and newspapers are just filled with ads to get your attention, to find that perfect gift for every loved one that you've got, and for every person in the neighborhood, and for even some of the people that you don't want to buy gifts for, you want to buy that gift because it would just be so perfect to give to somebody. But by the time we get to Christmas, whether it be Christmas Day or the day after, they've already got those commercials that are in place, and they're already being birthed out into the world to send that message of, wow, there's another round of sales that are coming. Be ready for them and come and get ready for next Christmas, or buy for the person that you've forgotten, or replace the gift that got lost along the way. One commercial that really got my attention yesterday, I'm not sure if you saw it, if anybody saw it, but it was for Walmart. And it caught my attention. There was these two guys, looked like fathers maybe, out in front of a apartment building. And there were some trash cans there, and they were going through the trash. What one of them was looking for, I'm not sure, but it didn't catch that. But the other one was looking for a hairbrush for a Barbie doll that was missing. He was trying to find it. And that one just really made me laugh because it really hit close to home. It reminded me of my daughter's first Christmas. And you know how sometimes when those first child, and especially when it's the first grandchild as well, is born, and Christmas can really be obscene and overwhelming when it comes to the gifts that are brought. And that was the case when Allie was born. And, you know, there was the pile of gifts, and there was the pile of paper, and there was the pile of boxes. And a couple of days after Christmas, Melissa and I were going through the gifts that she'd gotten, and we realized that there was a missing pair of pajamas with the Little Mermaid on the front of them. And she really had already at that young age caught on to the Little Mermaid, and just we knew she'd love those pajamas, but we couldn't remember if we'd seen them on her yet. And it wasn't in the time when we had a digital camera, and all the pictures were on a regular camera, so you couldn't even go through the pictures to see if she'd been wearing it. So we began to search through our memory and talk about it. We began to look through the pile of gifts that were there, and we went into her bedroom and we looked through the dresser that was there to see if it had been tucked away ahead of time. And we couldn't find it. And so we called down to my dad's, and it was a time when, you know, paper and boxes still got burnt out back a lot. So we called down and asked if, you know, we dropped off the paper and the boxes, but are they still there? Well, timing was perfect, and they hadn't quite been burnt. He was going to burn them in a couple of hours. So we quickly rushed out under that cold morning and began to rip through bags filled with paper and piles of boxes that were there. And sure enough, right there in the middle of one of those boxes was the Little Mermaid pajamas. And isn't it easy for that to happen with Christmas? We celebrate Christmas. We work hard to build up for Christmas. We get everything into place. And it almost is surreal how fast it goes by. And we want to move on. We want to just get into something new. We want to take down the ornaments. We want to pack up the candles. We want to put away the good dishes. Get them back into their place. Get life back to normal. The way it's supposed to be. But the bottom line is, Christ is born out into the world, and Christ is born out into our life, and they should never be the same again. We shouldn't be able to go back to normal if we're really willing to celebrate the Christ of Christmas. Because as I mentioned on Christmas Eve, the Christ of Christmas does not come once a year, but He comes again and again and again. He stands at the door of our hearts and He knocks. And each and every time we let Him come in, He'll change our life in a fresh, new way. So as we move, in fact, in the Christian calendar, when you look at the Christian scripture readings and the Christmas and the traditions that we celebrate, Christmas isn't a one-day event. It's set up as a 12-day season that leads up to Epiphany, to the day when we celebrate the wise men coming, which probably wasn't 12 days later. It was probably some 2 years later. You know, we have a wonderful way of romanticizing the story and telling it over and over and over again. But when you really take time to ponder that story and to think about how it really has been lived out and was lived out and is lived out today. It's not a neat little package that can be set out on the table once a year and packed up when it's all over. It's a story that just unfolds in ways that we could never dream of it happening. How has the Christmas story unfolded in your life through the years? In what ways have you encountered the Christ of Christmas time and time again? Sometimes maybe the most unexpected moments of life. As we move from this celebration of Christmas into a new year, how will you intentionally look to encounter that Christ of Christmas? You know, it's such a blessing to watch the manger appear out front each year. And it sits there, empty for a week. And then on Christmas Eve, Mary and Joseph and Jesus appear there. And it's a blessing to watch, you know, as I get to come out the door and to take the dog for a walk or to go to do different things. I sometimes encounter the different people that are encountering the manger. And it's a real blessing while it's happening. There's some people who just walk by and they notice something has changed. They kind of look in there to see what it is. For some, they continue to talk with one another as they're going by. Others, they just stop and look quietly into it. I've seen people doing that. The other night, and again, at night, it's a really special moment because there's also the lights that are there that come on with the timer and just bring it to life in the darkness. That image of light coming into the darkness we just talked about. It comes alive in a really sacred way out front. If you're out for a walk some night, take time to stop and to look at it, to think about it for a minute, to ponder it. One particular night, the other night I came out, and the street was filled with laughter, and I wondered who was out front, and I was making my way out with the dog to go for a walk. I came around the corner, and there was a mom that was out there with a little child and a stroller. There were two other young children, and they were standing there really looking into the manger and talking with one another. And what they were talking about, I don't know. I can't tell you. But the sounds of joy and laughter and wonder that came from that conversation was an incredible gift. So as we move through this Christmas season and head for the new year, how will you find a way to look into the manger? Maybe not the manger out front, but the manger of your heart. How will you set aside time to look and see how God is working in there? What God is calling you to be still and notice that might make a difference as we journey into the new year. I want to share with you another scripture now. This one comes from the Apostle Paul, and it's another one that's woven into the lectionary readings for this time of year. It comes from his letter to the church at Colossae, and he writes to talk to the Colossians about what he describes in my Bible as the rules for holy living. And again, they're scriptures that you've probably heard before. And if they're a familiar one, then I invite you to try to listen if you're listening for the first time. And if it is one that is just coming to you for the first time, it's going to be even easier to do that. Paul writes, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive just as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And may God continue to add His blessing to His Word, not only to the reading, to the hearing of His Word, but to that coming alive of God's Word, as we do learn to let Christ continue to dwell richly in our hearts." Paul's words are filled with wonderful advice. Paul points out and brings to life some of the gifts that Christ brings that we need to enjoy every day. He says, put on the gifts of the clothes of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Try them on for yourself. Wear them out into the world. Wear them to the family gathering. Wear them to work. Wear them to meet people on the street. Do you ever notice when you put on those gifts, the world becomes a different place? Talk about the light of Christ coming alive. Did you ever just be in a conversation where things are going downhill fast and somebody decides to put on compassion? To let it come alive and to try to be understanding of what somebody else is going through? How all of a sudden the environment changes right there. Or when you're in the middle of a conversation and there's two or three people who want the same thing who want different things and they want it now? And one decides to exercise patience? All of a sudden the world becomes a new place. The darkness that's just overwhelming everybody just fades away as a new light appears in the middle of it all. When somebody's demanding to get their own way, or maybe if you're like me, it's even you who's demanding your own way in the middle of a situation, and you decide to be gentle rather than trying to be demanding. All of a sudden, you start to hear things you didn't even hear and notice things that you didn't even know were going on. And after that, he goes on to say, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. You know, I'm not sure how all the lectionary readings were put together the churches have used in worship all down through the ages. But isn't it amazing that this scripture is one of the ones that's just strategically and sacredly placed in the middle of it all? But in the middle of one of the most stressful times of the year, the celebrating of holidays and the celebrating with family and them turning the page for the calendar from one year to the next, that we're reminded that it's really important to bear with each other and to forgive whatever grievances we have against one another, just as Christ has forgiven us. In what ways will you let these gifts of Christ come alive in your life as we journey through Christmas and on into the new year? And then Paul says, and whatever you do with all these virtues, with all these different pieces of the gift of Christ in your life, over all these things, put on love. Because love is like the glue. The grace of God is like the glue. It's going to bind it all together in a way that it's going to really make a difference in your life and in the life of all of those around you. And let Christ, this Christ that was born and who dwelled for a season in that manger, in an unexpected place, let Him dwell in another unexpected place. Let Him dwell in your heart. But not only for a day, not only for a season, but for all eternity. And Paul says, go on to make it known to others. Don't keep it a secret. Don't pack it away with all the Christmas decorations. Don't throw it away with the gifts, with all the wrapping paper and boxes. No. Share it with others. All the things that you're doing, whether they're in word or deed, do them all in the name of Jesus. And that doesn't mean that you're supposed to be preaching a sermon every time you do something for somebody. Paul's reminding us that this is about a matter of the heart. This is about being humble and realizing that it's God at work in our lives and in the lives of those around us in a bigger way than we could ever understand or dream of asking. And that involves exercising humility as well. But he also tells us to do something else. He says, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And so that's what we're going to take a moment to do here this morning with one another. You know, there's different scripts, there's different songs, different Christmas carols, I'm sure, that have touched you through the years in different ways and for different reasons. And so we're going to take a few minutes here in the service to just share them with one another.